Fan Run Radio podcasters, many of you have been asking for a way to support the station if you live out of state and can't support our sponsors, and now there's a way. Just go to shopfanrun.com and buy a shirt, or two, or ten, and know that you're supporting the station that does our best to support you. Shopfanrun.com.
You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
We're working like heck.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome from the epicenter of the college basketball universe and home of your number one ranked Tennessee Volunteers. This is The Drive on Fox Sports Knoxville. Russell Smith reporting for duty alongside Bear, Brandon Orrick. We've got Rick and Ryan in the house this afternoon helping out on quality control. Smell that, Bear?
Yeah, smell it on the way in. Crisp.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Reed out there. No, that's the smell of victory. That's the smell of champions. That's the smell of number one. Numero uno. Breathe it in. Soak it up. Let it wash over you. Fill your soul.
I got my eyes on the prize, Russ. Is it nice? Yes. Is it the be-all, end-all? No.
No, and nobody's saying it is. Listen, man.
Not wanting to rain on your all's parade today. But
well, you're not going to.
We've got a lot of work ahead of us.
Nothing could possibly rain on the parade. Here's the deal, man. It matters. It does.
I know. And it's great for the program. It's
great for the fans.
It's great for us. That's who I think is enjoying. I hope.
Yeah.
Is the people that are paying attention to it the most are us, you know, the fans.
Been through a lot the last 10 years since we were last number one in this sport. Good times, but a lot of bad times.
The second half Saturday, I feel like the guys need to. They need to get it together.
I think so. And listen, I've said before, even when last week when we were contemplating the pros and cons of being number one, I still feel like we've got losses in the future. Yeah, we might get popped this week, but at the end of the day, we have climbed that mountain again. And you know, we talked about this during the Pearl era, about making a Final Four, going to heights we've never been to. And what the phrase I think we kept using is, you just got to keep knocking on that door, man. Just keep going to the tournament. Keep fielding good teams. Keep knocking on the door. And eventually, one day, you're going to break it down. And being number one, I think, is part of knocking on the door. We say knocking on the door. That doesn't just mean in March. That doesn't just mean in the tournament. This is part of it. This is part of the growth of a healthy program. This is a billboard that you can put out there to other fans of college basketball, to prospects at Keon Johnson, Jaden Springer, Walker Kessler. They're all going to say that Tennessee is number one. And there was legitimate debate about it. You know, should Duke or Tennessee be number one? And the voters overwhelmingly said, Tennessee is the better team right now. So,
I mean, I think we're way beyond healthy right now. I mean, our program is thriving and dominant.
Yep.
Whether we're one or whether we are really two, you know, wherever they place us, the four best teams in college basketball as it stands right now are Duke, Tennessee, Gonzaga, maybe Michigan.
Yeah, I mean, I think Duke is still very good, and it looks like Trey Jones is. That's not as significant an injury as we thought it was going to be.
I hate them with a heat of a thousand suns. But I watch it, they're good.
Yeah, I mean, that's a team you don't want to play.
You don't want to play them, but you're trying to figure out who.
I'm not saying I'm scared of them. I think we match up as well as anybody.
If they wanted to, but.
I think we match up as well as anybody, but I don't think it's not like, hey, we're going to kick their ass, you know?
No. I think Virginia would give us a lot of trouble.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think they're very athletic, but they're that Salt guy could really, really.
Boy, he's a load.
If say, our three ball's not falling, we see them in the tournament and they just slough off into that 2-3 and just lock us out of the paint and off the glass, we'll go home.
Yeah, I still think Gonzaga's very good. They're getting a player back, a key guy that wasn't around when we played them.
You think they've got it better in a way that they're just kind of – like nobody's – like everybody kind of stopped talking about them as much. They're just kind of cruising right along out there doing what they do.
Well, and they play –
guys getting healthier.
And they're the proverbial, the ultimate mid-major. They're the mid-majorist mid-major there is. And so the thing they're going to be hurt by is playing in the West Coast Conference, and that's going to ding their strength of schedule. So, but that's a good team. I'm there with you. I mean, I would say
it's not going to be as grueling for them a journey to get to the tournament like it will be for honestly for Duke, Tennessee,
no.
Michigan.
No, it's not. But yeah, I'm with you. I would say us, Duke, Virginia, Gonzaga, all have legitimate claim. Like all those fan bases are saying, you know, we're as good as anybody in the country. But at least for today. At least for right now, where it matters in the AP poll, Tennessee is the number one team in college basketball, at least for this week. And we're number one in the coaches poll as well, where we got 30 of 32 first place votes. So it's pretty overwhelming as well. Now, 10 years ago, and isn't it ironic, don't you think? 10 years ago, we climbed the mountain, and who's our next opponent?
Vanderbilt.
In Nashville.
Who had no business being on the anywhere near the same floor as us.
They were pretty good.
They were pretty good, but we were.
Yeah, we were better. Right? We had a better team on paper, but, I mean, Shane Foster.
Who do you think wins this year's team versus that year's team?
What? What do you mean?
Tennessee?
Oh, Tennessee this year against the 2008 team? I don't know, man. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. I've thought about it and thought about it.
Different team, different style, different personalities. It's just.
I just find myself coming back to I would never bet against Chris Lofton.
Yeah, me too.
He'll bury a three from this, 60 feet.
And we loved those teams for different reasons. That 08 team was full of swagger and moxie, and it just felt good to strut around and just be the
heel.
Yeah, the guy come in and smack you around in your own house. This team, it's
Vince
like
– McMahon walking into the room.
This team is unheralded. It's a blue-collar lunch pail mentality.
They're really good kids.
Yeah, I mean, I think this team represents its fan base like more closely than that team did.
Yeah, it's a pretty lovable bunch, these guys.
But we'll see. I mean, a lot of it depends on how things end up. That team got bounced in the Sweet 16 against Louisville. They slapped us around pretty good.
So what's our SEC record right now?
5-0.
So we're 5-0. With how many to go?
13.
You feeling good?
Third of the way through.
You feeling good?
Pretty much the SEC season. It's obvious what they need to work on now. I think they've got enough on tape where everybody's, you know. Now we're getting to teams that'll start game planning based on, you know. Like Alabama shut us down in the second half the other night. But I also think Alabama, if they had a halfway decent point guard and maybe a different coach, they'd probably be a top 10 team. They're freakishly athletic.
You don't like Avery Johnson?
No.
Why not?
I don't think he's a killer.
I think he's pretty good. I think we got good coaches in this league, man. I mean, they were picking us apart there in the second half. They get any shot they wanted against us. And Barnes had no answer. I mean, we tried three different guys on him. We tried a zone. And eventually, like when they just settled on Bowden, like then we slowed him down pretty good. I
mean, with the way Bowden's playing now, wouldn't you would think that he would be, you would know right from the get go.
Well,
you want to put Bowden on him.
And we did. If there's one criticism I have in that game, when Petty started going off, Barnes very quickly. Well, not very quickly. He tried to let us play our way out of it, and we just couldn't. And he ends up taking the timeout just in front of the first TV timeout, the first four-minute mark. And he puts Bowden in, and Petty hit another three. And then he put Lamonte on him. And then he put Schofield back on him. And then we went zone. All in the space of about 6 minutes. And then finally, at the 10-minute mark, he stuck Bowden in there. And I believe Bowden played on him the whole way, except I think they took Bowden out for a minute or two around the 3 or 4 minute mark. And it didn't hurt us, luckily. That was – anyway, I think, like, if we had just stuck with Bowden the whole time, maybe he cools just off a little bit at some point.
As the game ebbed and flowed,
but,
as they say.
Hey, man, it is what it is. We'll get – we got a good show today. Dan Harrelson, who you just heard on It's Optional, is
with Trey Wallace,
2 hours in a row. Chance. All Dan, all the time here on Fan Run Radio. And then 4 o'clock, Jerry Palm, CBS Sports, will join us, the master of the brackets. Who do you like? You like Lenardi or you like Palm? Do you have a preference?
Been to as Tennessee higher.
No. On this one, no.
It's kind of like Rivals in 247, yeah, whoever rates our recruit the highest.
I'm kind of old school. I kind of usually roll with Jerry.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll talk to.
I'm a Jerry Palm.
Wait. Oh, you're a Palm.
Yeah.
Okay.
No. That's who I go to because he's usually like Jerry's one of the few people like he takes all emotion out of it, and he's just looking at from a very
analytical point of view.
Surgical, like, and he's usually right. Like, there was one year he was right about us, and we all had ourselves deluded into that we were going to make the tournament, and then we didn't make it.
So. All right, we will take a quick break. Heath, hang right there. We're coming to you. We'll get a quick Rocky Top report when we continue on the drive. Then we'll get right to these phone calls on Fox Sports Knoxville. It's Fan Run Radio. Back with more after this.
The Drive.
All right, Rocky Top Report brought to you by the Kregner Group and your mortgage pro, Chris Burleson, the dynamic duo of East Tennessee Real Estate. Number one, Tennessee has climbed to the top of the college basketball universe, number one in both major basketball polls. Duke number two, Virginia number three, Gonzaga fourth. We have poll alignment at the top. Michigan and Michigan State, the class of the Big Ten, they're flipped around at 5 and 6 in both those two polls. Kentucky getting hot. Big win for the Wildcats at Auburn over the weekend. They're up to number 8 in the AP poll. Auburn falls to 16th, down 2 spots from last week. And Ole Miss, Mississippi State in the poll as well. LSU in the top 25 at 25 in the AP poll from the ACC. Charles Kelly leaves Tennessee officially Saturday in football. Now the question becomes, will Jeremy Pruitt add another coach? We'll talk about that with Dan Harrelson from VolsWire.com coming up here in about 10 minutes on the show. Stay tuned for that. And big one tonight at Thompson Bowling, the Lady Vols.
Oh, my goodness.
Host Arkansas.
Let's get to it.
Oh, my goodness is right. 7 o'clock tip. SEC Network has your telecast. It is the We Back Pat game.
No way she loses the We Back Pat game. There's no way. No way she loses this game.
I hope you're right.
I would think that if for no other reason than the We Back Pat night, you guys can put the dampers on, put the pitchforks down maybe for an evening, and
I
just go cheer on the Lady
Vols. I do not have
tonight.
A pitchfork. I don't have a torch. Don't start. Lady Vols also busy week. They play number one Notre Dame at home Thursday night.
Oh.
So,
oh my.
At least that's not the We Back Pack game. That is the Rocky Top Report brought to you by the Kregner Group, BoKnowsHouses.com. That's BoKnowsHouses.com. Call today to set up your free consultation. Hey, the mortgage pro, Chris Burleson, if you're thinking of buying, building, or refinancing, call Chris at 865-388-2222 7634, or just visit him online at BurlesonMortgageTeam.com. Yes?
Oh, no, I thought I was just hearing you talk about
Burleson. You had a You had a look like on your face, like you had something to add. You had that.
I was just sitting there thinking, I'm at some point, yeah. If I ever go out and end up buying another house, I'm going to go through them, and they got you set up like a king.
They
something do about Stately Smith Manor. It just shines there on a hill.
Something that I've now still not been invited.
Well, you know, I found that if you go bearing gifts, it's a lot better than just doing drive-bys, laying on the horn and screaming out the window.
That's usually how most things are, Bear.
All right, let's go to the phones and talk to Heath, who's up first today on the drive. Hello, Heath. Thanks for holding, man.
Yeah, what's going on, guys?
Not much. How you doing?
It's a little cold at the top of this mountain today.
It is cold. Should
have brought a jacket.
Number one, the wind blows hardest at the top of the flagpole, Heath. That's what they say.
That's right. Feels good, though, doesn't it?
Not kidding.
So I've got a bit of a confession to make. I've grown up my entire life a Tennessee fan. Been to many, many football games. But this past weekend was actually my first game ever in the TBA.
Wow.
Really?
What a day to attend your first UT basketball game.
It was my first, and I got to tell you, I actually had a really, really great time. You know, I'm a huge football guy. I've always preferred football over basketball. But, man, that was just such a fun environment. You know, seeing Chaney and Pruitt and T. Martin during the game was a lot of fun. Just, man, the crowd was wild.
Sure, and again,
go to the bathroom, get some drinks, and I probably missed maybe the first 4 minutes of the first half, and I came and sat back down in my seats, and we're tied, and I was like, what in the world has happened? And then we just went ice cold on offense, could not get a score.
Yeah,
and you know, that's something that kind of worries me with this team moving forward. There are periods where we just go ice cold, and you know, you saw Admiral, you know, touch every inch of the rim, shots just bouncing out. But, you know, it's really nice to see us get a tough win like that. And I hope we can carry that into some of the other tough games that we've got coming down the stretch here. But had a really great time, and it's great to be at the top of the mountain. But I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Hey, Heath, appreciate the phone call. Yeah, I mean, Thompson Bowling Assembly Center and Arena was rocking Saturday afternoon there. And
how loud did it get when any of you guys go?
I was not there.
You went? Was it really loud when T came out?
Was that the loudest the arena was when T. Martin came out? I mean, hey, it's still a football school. That's okay. Hopefully our football team will get on this on the level that Rick Barnes has our basketball program. But
T looks like he could play D-tackle right now.
Bear.
He's a muscle-bound dude.
Tread lightly, my friend. We've already had one.
Oh, no, we haven't nothing. Right. Go on.
All right, so Tennessee improves to 16-1 on the season, 5-0 in SEC play, number one in the country. Soak it up. Soak it up, my friends.
It was a trip, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great, man. I mean, like, I just watching the first half, and I know it obviously got tight in the second half, and we were sweating it out. But in the first half, when it looked like we were going to hammer them and just blow them out again, like,
I had a sense of an easiness even when we got out by 15. I swear I did. Nothing ever comes easy against Alabama.
I didn't, man. I thought, Brandon, did you think we were going to drill them? I thought we were going to drill them.
I did. We gave our predictions
Pons
on Friday.
When Pons got the alley-oop, I was like, oh, man, oh, yeah. That's it. We are bending these boys over a barrel and showing them the 50 states.
But Heath mentioned how Tennessee just kind of goes on the stretches where they don't score. I've not really – I feel like Saturday might have been the first time. It's not happened much this year where we just go without scoring. Happened a little bit in the Missouri game.
That was the coldest drought, I think. I mean, maybe Kansas. Did they hold us down? Like, because we led Kansas by almost 10 points early in the second half, and then we went really cold. But that was so long ago. So long ago. I mean, we could be undefeated right now. if Grant Williams doesn't foul out of that game. Anyway, let's get John Tweet in here next. Tweet, you're on The Drive, Fox Sports Knoxville.
What do you say, boys?
Yes.
That wasn't the loudest that arena was. No way. When T walked out, no. It's probably, it got pretty loud on that oop when he caught that oop and they went to timeout. But towards the end, there was one point, I couldn't even hear the person beside me. I mean, I had pretty good seats, and I couldn't hear the person beside me. They said sounded like you couldn't hear the whistle go. It was late in the game. You know, you couldn't hear anything. All you could hear was just a roar, a constant roar. We were on defense. Yeah, I mean, great basketball game. One ugly. We probably should have lost it. If you look at that, like the first half, we shot, I think we shot roughly 60% from the field and held them like sub 40, I want to say. And we just couldn't pull away from them like we should have. I mean, the way they shot, we should have been. I was kind of looking at the guy next to me. I said, we should be ahead by more than we're ahead. I mean, we've shot 60% from the field. They didn't hit any of their free throws. I mean, they were, what, 5 of 14, something like that, something terrible from the foul line. And
Petty kept
them in it. What's that?
Petty kept them in it.
Yeah, it was weird. They didn't – like when Bowden was on him towards the end, he kind of – I was like, well, why was this not – they tried Turner on him, and that didn't work. And you would just look, and you'd watch the guy shadowing him. And if you watched Petty versus watching your ball, you stuck – watch the ball for a second. Next thing you know, he's in the corner for a wide-open three. I mean, they were just – whatever they were doing to get him open at times when somebody was chasing, they just couldn't stay chasing. And they tried switching him, which I thought was a terrible idea because he got switched with Alexander on him one time, and that's bad – or Fulkerson was on him or something like that.
Oh,
he's just going to shake him and stand up and pop. What's that?
I said, oh, God, yeah, that's like you don't want to look out there and see Alexander Fulkerson trying to guard somebody that's explosively athletic the way that kid is.
They had another guard that got to the rim pretty easy, too. I mean,
they're good basketball. They're a lot better than their record.
Avery Johnson, to me – and Russ, maybe you and I talked about this. The man is a mystery. I mean, he obviously can recruit. He gets good players in there. I think Petty was like a top 30 player nationally. I know who's the, I can't think of his name right now. Center that gave us so much trouble for them. He's a good player.
Dante Hall.
Yeah, he was another top 100 type player. And obviously, Colin Sexton was a top 10 type player.
But and the point guard they have now is projected to be a lottery pick in a couple of years.
Yeah, he had a nice little drive against somebody. Somebody, I mean, it might have been Bound or somebody was in his face the whole time and playing as good a defense as you can play, and the man just got straight to the rim and laid it up. I mean, I don't understand them, how they're whatever they are, which is at what, 9-6, 9-5?
I mean, they should be a tournament team.
That's beyond me. Well, they'll probably eke their way in, you know, to like an 8 or 9 seed. But, I mean, how pissed are you if you're an Alabama basketball fan and you take it serious that you have that type of talent and you just do nothing with it?
Yeah, I mean they were in the tournament last year and won a game. And then
right.
They have just a really bad loss to Texas A&M this year.
Georgia Southern, too, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, if they win those two games, you're 12-3 and obviously in really good – position, you know, probably a top 25 team and solidly in the tournament. Jerry Palm has them among his first four out right now, so there's still plenty of time for them to play themselves into the tournament. But I think Avery Johnson is a fine coach. He's, you know,
it's weird, man. It doesn't make sense. I mean, that's a fairly veteran team, is it not? I mean, Hall's been there for a while. Petty, this is his second year in.
I mean, the only level where they really dropped off was Sexton, which, I mean,
you recruit those one and dones. Like, it's one thing if you're Kentucky and Duke and you can just go get another one the next year, but is he going to be able to make a living doing that? I don't know.
To where there's not just like a noticeable talent and skill drop.
You get on that,
you got to sprinkle that guy in. I mean, you got to get him somewhere if you can. I mean, you ain't going to turn him down if he wants to come there. That's for sure. Can you imagine telling Josiah James, no thanks, we're good? I mean,
no.
You got to sprinkle him in. boys, I don't know what that's probably, to me, that game was a loss that we ended up winning, and I think that bodes well. I mean, they just played solid, hit the free throws down the stretch. The last guy talked about scoreless. We've gone on a number of like 3-4 minute scoring droughts throughout the season, a number of them. You not one every game, but one about every other game. 3-4-5 minute drought. Well, you go back and look.
I mean, 3 or 4 minutes, that's one thing, but we went, I think, from just over the 10 minute mark to under the 4 minute mark, maybe the 2 minute mark or so before Admiral Schofield hit a runner in the lane, and then he hit another, you know, it was actually Bowden, I think, broke that dead streak, and then Schofield hit a couple of buckets. But yeah, I mean, there's obviously room for improvement, and I understand they have an open practice today. Our Trey Wallace is on the scene, so maybe we'll get some notes coming out of that thing.
Does
John
Barnsey give more access than the football team does? Do they get to watch a lot more?
Yeah. John, thanks, man. We got to run. Quick timeout. Dan Harrelson, VolsWire.com. I mean, I heard somebody just like, they treat you covering the football program like you're covering a war, like you're embedded in it. Like, oh, you can't talk to him. Yeah, state secrets, basketball. Oh, yeah, come on in. Oh, you know, it's just a totally different atmosphere. We'll take a quick break. Dan Harrelson coming up next here on The Drive.
The Drive. You ain't been smoking. The Drive.
All right, back here on The Drive, Fox Sports, Knoxville. Let's get Dan Harrelson in here from VolsWire.com. Oh, Danny boy, I feel like I just heard you on It's Optional with Trey and Chance just a few minutes. Oh, yeah, it's because I did. Welcome back, Dan.
Well, thanks for having me. Doing a little bit of double duty today.
We should have just invited you to the studio. You could just hang out here all day at Fan Run. Dan, obviously, we want to talk to you about some of the football moves, but we got to start with hoops, man. I mean, number one in the country for the second time in program history. And we've been discussing a little bit here on The Drive today, you know, what it means for the program. And obviously, it doesn't mean much if you lose a couple of games. It's all about where you finish in March. But big picture-wise, what does being number one again mean for Rick Barnes and his program?
Well, I think it's huge because, it's a testament of what he has built. And, you know, some people may view it as, well, it's not that big of a deal right now because you're looking at the big picture, maybe a conference championship or a strong run in the NCAA tournament and making a Final Four or whatnot. But I think it's big. I think there's a handful of teams out there that can make their case of being a top four, top five, top team. And it just so happens that Tennessee is on the longest winning streak right now of the handful of teams. And sure, they had a scare against Alabama. They were able to squeak through that while Michigan and Duke lost earlier in the week. And then, of course, Duke turning around and defeating a pretty good Virginia team. So it just kind of falls into Tennessee's lap at this point. But I guess that's not a great way to say that it fell in their lap because obviously they have earned their number one ranking to this point.
Do you think this team, we were talking before we had you on, Dan, about comparisons between the 08 team, and obviously everybody, there's going to be a lot of talk about, you know, 10 years later going to Vanderbilt again, number one. It's hard to compare this team and the 08 team because they're, you know, so different from the styles of the coaches and the players. But do you think this team is as good or better than that 2008 team that beat Memphis in that huge matchup and was number one for 72 hours or so?
Well, I don't know if they're better. I don't know if they're better or worse. But I honestly think this team kind of reminds me a little bit more of the 99-2000 Tennessee team, who I think lost seven games that year, made, what, a Sweet 16 run and lost to North Carolina in the tournament. I just think with that team, it was a loaded roster kind of like this. I mean, in 07-08, it was loaded there, but a little bit different type personnel. But I definitely think those three teams that I mentioned for Tennessee, I think they're near the top of the list for the school in the history.
Do either of this week's games worry you? We got Vanderbilt on the road Wednesday, and then the West Virginia game all of a sudden gets really interesting. You know, they're missing their big shot blocker, Kanate, and they're having a rough season. All of a sudden, they pop Kansas, who's missing their big man as well. And I don't think anybody, you know, even when they were struggling, Dan, I don't think anybody is, you know, just chiseling a win over a Bob Huggins team in stone. But all of a sudden, that game looks a little bit more threatening. It's always difficult to go into Memorial Gym. Just your thoughts on the week ahead and whether Tennessee can actually sustain being number one for more than one poll this time around.
Yeah, you look at the upcoming games, like you said, at Vanderbilt. Of course, we all know about the Memorial Gym there with how it's set up. But that's tough, but Vanderbilt's having a tough time this year, so that's definitely a winnable game. Like you mentioned about West Virginia, they're kind of down right now, even though they did turn around to defeat Kansas, even though Kansas is not at full strength. So you can kind of pinpoint with these upcoming matchups for the opponents for Tennessee and kind of see some good and bad in all of these. And then after West Virginia, you go to South Carolina and then at Texas A&M. So that's two straight road games, kind of see where your team's at with the mindset there, being away from Thompson Bowling. And then Konzo Martin comes in, and then Florida. So they're definitely winnable games. South Carolina, another matchup with them at home before you go to Rupp Arena on February 16th for a Saturday night game. I think Tennessee is good enough to maintain a long winning streak until Rupp Arena, and I think they can kind of keep this number one billing until then.
All right, we've got Dan Harrelson with us, VolsWire.com. He's at Dan Harrelson on Twitter. And switching gears a little bit, talk some football here with you, Dan. Charles Kelly leaves Tennessee officially on Saturday. He's going down to Alabama to take over the secondary for Nick Saban. And this makes it kind of interesting because now Tennessee's back to the 10 assistant coach threshold, but we've got six on offense and only four on defense. Do you think it stays this way, or do you think there's more coaching changes to come for Jeremy Pruitt?
Well, it's a good question because you look at a guy like David Johnson, who last Thursday he went out to Memphis on the recruiting trail and talked to a prospect, Jalen Harris, a 2020 guy. And I talked to him Saturday, and he had mentioned that still no offer from Tennessee. I guess that may take some time or whatnot, but he did say he would follow a guy like Johnson to if he left and departed to another school, that he liked him that much. And then Junior Day occurred Saturday, and T. Hodge from Maryville, the running back, attended, talked to him yesterday, and there were talks about him playing running back or even linebacker if he's needed to at a place like Tennessee, and that David Johnson would be a guy that could coach that position in the backfield. So I think David Johnson is a guy that will probably stay on board. And like you said, you got six on offense, four on defense with Kelly departing. A guy like Brian Niedermeyer, who coached tight ends this past season, doing a heck of a job on the recruiting trail, you could see him flip over to coach linebackers in some capacity on the defensive side because he did coach with Jeremy Pruitt at Georgia and at Alabama with the linebackers as a grad assistant role. So he does have more experience there on the defensive side. And right before he joined with Pruitt at Georgia, he was at the Miami Hurricanes coaching in a GA role with linebackers there. So he does have a lot of experience more so on that side of the ball. And I think that's a natural fit. And then you could have a guy like Johnson go to the backfield and also coach special teams. He did that for, I think, four seasons at Millsaps College when Mike DeBose was there as the head coach. So, of course, we know Jeremy Pruitt's real comfortable with a guy like Mike DeBose, and he can kind of lean on him to see how Johnson could fare as a special teams guy. But I think with Kelly departing to Alabama, it kind of makes a lot more sense, kind of helping Saban have him go there and avoiding Tosh going to Georgia, who Kirby was trying to go after really hard, and kind of have a package deal and a working relationship to send John Lilly up to Cleveland to avoid Georgia kind of poaching Tosh to make their staff there in Athens a little bit stronger.
Last thing for you, Dan, we'll let you run here. You mentioned the Hodge kid, T. Hodge out of Maryville. And he has packed on a lot of weight. I remember when he kind of broke out as a freshman for them, and you're thinking, okay, he's got some speed and agility, but small kid, as you know, most 14-year-olds are. And fast forward here, going into his senior season, and he's listed up near 220 pounds. We know that Jeremy Pruitt likes his backs a little bit bigger. How big a priority do you think T. Hodge is for Tennessee right now?
Yeah, 6'2", 220 right now, and, you know, that's a big frame. Like you said, that Jeremy likes to have those big horses in the backfield like he had at Alabama and Georgia. And I don't know how high up the pecking order that Hodge is on Jeremy's list. T did say he's going to take his time, so that kind of tells me that Pruitt and the staff are going to look at some other areas too, nationwide, with other prospects in the backfield. But I think they really do like T. Hodge and his size, and maybe they think that he's going to be there in the long run at the end to kind of seal the deal with him. But they kind of want to look nationwide also.
All right, good stuff. Dan, always appreciate your time, my man. Double duty on Fan Run today for Dan Harrelson. He's at Dan Harrelson on Twitter, VolsWire.com. Dan, thanks for your time this afternoon, my man.
All right, thank you.
Dan Harrelson making his presence felt on the drive this afternoon. Bear, what did you learn?
We have a really good basketball team, Russell.
You're just now figuring that out. I'm glad Dan could shed some light on that for you.
Yep.
Do you like the Hodge kid, T. Hodge, Maryville?
Yeah, I'd be interested to see how bad the leg injury was, but yeah. I'm always all about.
Yeah, I just
you
wonder
know me,
what
I love the local kids.
What his when was the last time we had a big time local running back? Devron Young from Bearden.
Yeah, but he came in more as a Z.
Yeah,
kind of return.
Scat back,
yeah.
Return specialist. I mean, Reggie Cobb, obviously, in the late 80s. Did
we
have one
since then? Have we not had one since then? I feel like we might be overlooking somebody really obvious. I mean, Little Man Stewart was from Motown.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We'll claim that. That's East Tennessee, obviously.
And I always want to say Aaron Hayden came from Tennessee, but he's from Detroit, Michigan. I don't know why that is.
He is not from East Tennessee, no.
No, I don't know.
Let's take a quick break. We'll ponder
that. East Tennessee attitude.
We'll ponder that during the timeout here. When we continue, we'll get back to your phone calls. It is The Drive on Fox Sports Knoxville. Stay with us.
The Drive.
Hungry for... Rick Barnes becomes the sixth coach to lead two teams to number one. That's courtesy of Big Orange Boy on Twitter.
And he's a Hall of Fame coach.
Who are the other five? Calipari.
Calipari. Patino.
Patino. That's all I got. Was C.M. Newton number one at Alabama?
Roy Williams.
Yeah. Roy Williams.
Most of these guys, if they get to number one, they don't ever leave where they're at.
Bob Knight never got to number one at Texas.
No.
Although he did.
Billy D.
He wasn't number one at Marshall.
Is that where he came out of?
Yeah.
I thought he had a stop at no, he's on Patino's staff up in
at Kentucky. Maybe an alert listener will help us out. Did Steve Fisher did he have a cup of coffee at number one at San Diego State?
They had some good teams. I don't think they
I
ever
have
got
no idea who Steve Fisher is.
I thought you loved the Fab Five, Bear.
Thanks for following along.
No. I said I thought the Fab Five were like really, really good. Oh. I hated the Fab Five.
Loved the Fab Five.
Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco. Hated every one of them.
Can you name all five Fab Five?
Chris Webber.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Wow.
It's been a long time, Russ.
Oh, my God. I figured you get the – everybody gets the big three.
Jalen Rose. They're coming back to me.
Oh, man.
Give me a hint. Give me the initials of the next one.
Big man. Played for the Bullets for a long time.
I never watched the Bullets.
Wow. I feel like everybody get the first three. I thought like the last two are hard. You know them. Brandon, do you know all five?
No, I know I know obviously those two, and I feel like I'll know the third once you say it. But
Juwan Howard.
No, I wouldn't.
Oh, ouch.
Jimmy King from Plano, Texas.
I would have never gotten that one.
And Ray Jackson. It was probably my favorite. Ray Jackson was like Ringo. Never got any credit, but you can't have the Fab Five without Ray Jackson at the small forward position, buddy. Let me tell you. Let's get Phil in here. Phil, you're on the drive, Fox Sports Knoxville. Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, sorry, W.
Hey, sorry, Flag.
How you bearing, Brandon?
Doing well, doing well. How about you, man? How does it feel to be number one, Phil?
It feels good.
Long-time basketball fans like yourself.
I guess credibility is your program, but what I want is to run NCAA tournament. But I'll take it for now. It's good. It helps recruiting. It gives you publicity. And right now, that's the only program on campus that's getting any positive vibes nationally.
Well, I'll take it, man. I mean, the positive vibes we get this overshadow, at least right now, anything that's going on with our women's program or our football team or – you know, baseball, whatever. Like this is good pup.
Well, I mean, Alabama historically has given us problems in basketball. I expected it to be a blowout over there. They never come up there and lay down for us, so they never have and never will. I mean, they're tough to beat. I mean, it's just like football. We can't even when we're great, we barely beat them.
Do you think it was actually a good thing to get tested like that?
Yeah. I think it's very good, and it knows what you can do. If you can win close games, I think it builds more confidence.
Yeah, it's – you know, I almost think when I was driving over here to do voluntary reaction, you know, in my mind, at that point I'm getting ready for a loss. You know, I'm thinking, okay, well, this is how it's going to be. You know, this is going to be the tone, and it's going to suck or whatever. But, you know, I even think, like, there could have been some positives there. I mean, Rick Barnes isn't afraid to lose – the game, like he's going to let those guys just play it out. We're going to lose eventually, man. I just don't see us running off 15 in a row, going undefeated in the conference play, winning the SEC tournament. Like, we're going to take some medicine at some point.
No doubt about it.
And it's not going to be the end of the world.
But how can a referee see that John Petty walk, which he did, and he also hooked Admiral Schofield on that play, and they could call a foul on him, but and then that bizarre interference calls and head to head, they didn't call on that New Orleans Los Angeles game yesterday.
Well,
I'm assuming we're gonna delve into that later on in the show.
Should both of those be reviewable?
Well, they review that in college football, don't they? The head to head anyway, don't they?
That's a good point.
Yeah, can't they ring down and? Even if a flag's not thrown, in order or review of it,
I don't know. But I mean, I hate it for the Saints because they got screwed out of that game. But Sean Payton's play calling in the end lost the game for him.
The Rams.
That was my biggest knock on
there at the end of the game and won the game. We're gonna still go.
Phil, out of time, man. Appreciate the phone call. The Rams made just like the Patriots when it got to overtime. They made every play.
Yeah.
Now, you know, there were even when they got the ball off the interception, the Rams, the first two like play action where he's almost sacked and he ends up completing a pass for like 10 yards. I mean, just they made every play.
Yeah, they did.
Jerry Palm, CBS Sports bracketologist, coming up next on The Drive. Stay with us.